It is Monday, September 30th. This is No Filter Sports. I'm Eli Zarrett, along with Denny McClain and Bob Page. So much going on, guys. The NFL schedule, as always. College football, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, looking like the number one team in the country. Spartans go there. Baseball playoff starts, so a lot to get to. And I think since we are basically a Detroit-based show, we'll talk about the NFL in general and the Lions division, you know, the Bears 3-1, although they lost their quarterback, etc. But let's talk about the Lions. Is it fair to say, after they lose 34-30 to Kansas City, I saw some Lion haters, and I want to say haters because we all hate them over the years when they disappoint us, so you can call that haters, or disbelievers maybe is a better term. Is it fair to say, I'll ask you both, because they lost the game, same old Lions, or is there something different here?
Nah, I think there's something different.
I do too.
I think there's more aggressiveness. I think they have a better concept idea. Apparently, Patricia is doing a hell of a job when it comes making
her name is Patricia.
Making them believe that his plan is a good plan, mm-hmm. and in the long run, it's going to work. I mean, certainly, although, you know, we have a tendency to eat the apple way ahead of the rest mm-hmm. of the pie once mm-hmm. in a while. Matt Stafford, of course, passed for 3 touchdowns yesterday. It's one of those games they could have, should have, would have. I still think they should have won the ball game. It was a crazy ball game, the fumble in the end zone and all the other things that went on.
They will run it to Johnson and lunges forward. We've got to be careful with that football. He did not get in. Tyrann Mathieu was there, and the Chiefs are running away with the football like they have it. I haven't heard a whistle. They may let this play out.
But you know what? There's an attitude difference.
There is.
Big attitude.
And by the way, all these games this year have come down to 2 or 3 plays.
Yes.
That's the nature of the NFL, the occasional
right.
blow. Most games are within a couple of plays, and there were some. In fact, it was so goofy what happened to them.
May I say something first before you get into the sound?
Go ahead.
I just want to say that Denny McClain owes me royalties because he's just ripped off the old Bob Page's Lions Lament that I used in the 1980s when I was still back home working in Detroit, and that is this. Hey, you know, the Lions could have won that game yesterday, and the Lions probably should have won that game yesterday, and they would have won that game yesterday, if only. And then you fill in the blanks.
Well, Kansas City scored more points, Bob.
It's the longest-running vaudeville show out there, and vaudeville doesn't even exist anymore. How are they going to blow it this time?
Well,
and that's what I was thinking the entire fourth quarter.
So here's what we have here.
And I'm going to tell you how they're going to blow it, but go ahead.
We have history versus present-day reality. History is not just the Lions, who have certainly the record of futility, never having been to a Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera. Most teams have the same lament because even a great team still loses 6 out of 16 games, 7 out of 16 games, whatever. So teams find ways to lose in the NFL. What Bob is saying is this institutional losing over decades that we now see is look at this black cloud over the team. And so I don't think it's fair to say that. You look at this season in general, they show signs of life. The season's going to get very interesting. The division is up for grabs. They're better. They're capable. They seem to trust the schemes of the coaches, as you said. They can run the ball.
Yep.
They got some very good skilled players. Galladay, man, this guy looks like a star. Marvin Jones, quality. Hockenson, although he did perhaps has the concussion protocol. So they're a better team, and they seem to be moving in a better direction. Compare anything in the last 20 years like this.
And I want to say one thing.
How'd you like them at Arizona? That work out for them down there.
Okay.
A better team then?
Nope. They didn't.
But they've already played that game.
Yeah,
that game is behind us.
Right.
I think the players believe right now in the resume of Patricia. Yeah. And I think that that goes a long way, believing in what the coach has to say and what direction he's going to go. I think their downfall is going to be this kid's played 132 or 133 games in a row. He's hurt. He's absolutely hurt, and he's still playing. I think you got to let him have a month off, 5, 6
weeks.
Oh,
you can't do that.
Listen, if you get him hurt, he's the franchise. You're done.
A month off?
Okay, wait a second. They got 2 weeks off right now.
I'll tell you what, Denny. I'll agree
with
you if you can tell me who the backup is. And you go to 10 people on the street and say, who's the Lions' backup quarterback? Nobody will know.
Who the hell is it?
I don't know. Is it Tom Savage or is it the other guy? No.
It's Johnson. You two grown-ass mature men who have lived in my hometown for so very many years.
Stop with
seen this movie a million times. Yeah. You're sitting there talking like,
the movie doesn't matter. The movie doesn't matter.
Bob, we've lived here longer than you have.
It's an old movie. It's from the
As I said last week, They've always, how many times have the Lions looked pretty good? And they get people excited. Mm-hmm. People are talking
the
Lions.
No doubt.
We are. In the end, they will always rip the heart right out of your chest, throw it on the ground, and stomp on it.
You mean
but normally during a season, we still aren't hanging in there this late in the season.
They're 2-1-1. I must say, with 4th and 8 in the game, this is what it's come down to last week. You're right. In the first game, that they could have easily lost at Arizona, Stafford threw an interception that was ridiculous right. in the final analysis, and they could Philadelphia dropped 7 passes. They could have lost that one. They could have easily lost the Charger game. And on 4th and 8, they have a 3-man rush so they can double team Kelsey, and Mahomes scrambles out there and beats them. They went into the prevent defense that, as we know, prevents you from winning, and that was unfortunate. But I'm saying, Bob, not denying what you're saying, it could be the same old Lions. Point is, they do look better, and we'll have to see how the season plays out before we write them off and say they're going to find a way to blow it.
Well, it was a great quote from Trey Wingo, the ESPN anchor today. He said, let's do the thing we do every Monday in the NFL season, overreact. So right. you yes, guys right. are overreacting.
No, we're not overreacting.
We're not.
I'm making no pronunciations.
No, we're not saying they're going to get in the Super
saying anything.
Bowl. We're just saying there seems to be a different
they
attitude.
They look better, that's
but I
all.
I will tell you this. One of the reasons they look better is that crowd was in their butts the entire ball game yesterday. I mean, they were going. The aggressiveness was really, really shined. I'm telling you.
Remember how many years they went without a 100-yard rusher? It was like 15 years after Barry retired. They couldn't get it. So they can run the ball now. They are somewhat better. That's all you can say. You're right. You don't want to jump to conclusions. You don't want to. In fact, we're almost looking at it like a victory because many expected they get blown out by Kansas.
And by the way, not to digress for just a second, but you mentioned Barry's name. They on the field yesterday, they named the all-time Lion team. By the way, any team Barry's on is the all-time Lion team. Doesn't make any difference who else is going to be on the team. As long as Barry's there, that's the best team.
I was a Nick Petrosani fan. Sorry.
Well, Nick was a good man.
He was the all time fullback along with Corey Schlesinger.
Oh, was he good?
And Corey's in town. Yeah. We should get Corey on the show. He's a good dude. The quarterbacks: Stafford, Bobby Lane, Dutch Clark. Dutch Clark was way back. Sanders, Sims, and Doak Walker, the great Doak, although he never gained more than 400 or 500 yards on the ground in the season.
But if you had to pick one player, who would you pick?
Well, Barry Sanders is the greatest Lion of all time. Charlie Sanders, the greatest tight end. Nobody comes close. Wide receiver, Calvin and Herman Moore, yes, and Gale Cogdill, like that.
God, I love Gale Cogdill. We idolized Gale Cogdill as kids.
I know.
And by the way, let me say something, fellas. It seems to me, and Mr. McClain would be an expert on this, being a former pitching great, that the whole idea is to win. The Lions had 3 world championship teams in the 1950s, and the quarterback was a guy named Bobby Lane.
Yep.
I might take Bobby Lane as the greatest player in Lions history.
It might be. Might be. They traded him in 58. And
other thing about Bobby Lane, he's got more folklore about him than any other Lion in history, too. I mean, the stories about him gallivanting all night long and all weekend long, no matter what city he was in, are just unbelievable stories.
Yeah, he was a real partier.
He's a real man.
Heavy-duty partier. Anyway.
Well, they always said that when he would come into the huddle, the guys huddled around him would actually be able to smell stale whiskey on his breath.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
fresh whiskey.
And you know who else that reminds me of? Whenever they mention Bobby Lane, the first guy that comes to mind is Norm Cash.
Famous drunks.
How many championships did Norm Cash win? 68?
Well, yes, sir. Yeah. One more than most.
One. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, to look at the Lions. I think it's maybe a different story. They're playing at Green Bay after the bye week, so that'll be a big game. They beat Green Bay, and I think we'll lose to Green Bay. However it goes, we'll have a different story that game. But anyway, they look a little bit better.
We'll have a different way they lost that game because they really are entertaining. Somebody actually asked me on Twitter over the weekend, last night actually, Sunday night, that, you know, what was the most tough Lions loss ever, so on and so forth. I said, man, you can't just pick one. But my personal favorite is the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Hail Mary pass at the end of the game in Detroit in December of 2015. It just didn't get any better than that. It really did.
There are so many more. We talked about it when we had Wayne Fonts on when Brett Favre hit Sterling Sharp to win that playoff game. was the play, it was the last game of the season that took him out. I can't remember. It was in 1993. So another quarterback goes down, which is Mitch Trubisky, which could affect the Bears.
Oh, my poor Bears.
Yeah, but they still, their defense crushed Minnesota, as Bob was mentioning last week. I don't want to put it on Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins had no chance yesterday. The Bears.
What the hell is wrong with Kirk Cousins?
I just think it's, yesterday was the Bears' defense. So I don't know if you can say what's wrong with Kirk Cousins yesterday.
He got $85 million guaranteed, and that's as good as he plays?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Now, Baker Mayfield's another great story.
Excuse me, one thing about Kirk. Nobody in Washington was crying when they decided that they were going to let him walk, all right? Minnesota took it upon themselves, coming off a winning season, albeit with a journeyman quarterback who played great. Minnesota took it upon themselves to give Kirk all this money. He's under big pressure. He's never been anything more than really, you know, a good quarterback in the NFL with the Redskins. So I think, you know, water seeks its own level, boys, sometimes.
He reminds me of Bobby Higginson. He walked away with $40 million. Kirk can walk away with $85
million. Well, Bobby didn't walk away with it. He tried to earn it. Anyway, let's
hear. So is Kirk.
So what you have now with the Lions and skeptics, and justifiably so with Bob, and many others. He's not alone. We're all skeptical because until we see it, we haven't seen it. But so what do they have to show? What do they have to make the fans believe? Here's what Stafford had to say after the game.
I don't think we need to prove anything to anybody. You know, we love the way we practice, the way we work, the way we come out and play. You know, we're a good football team. Lost to another good football team today. Came down in the last 15 seconds. You know, they were undefeated coming into this game, so were we. Somebody was going to have to lose. Obviously, you want to win them all at home. It was a good opportunity to beat a good team, and we were darn close.
So basically, we didn't have to prove anything. Well, yes, you do, Matt. You got to prove that you're better than you've been in the past, and we'll take the rest of the season to try and figure that out.
Let me say this about Matt Stafford, who I have only met once in my life. Matt is very typical, and I have a lot of respect for him, of the guys who come into Detroit from elsewhere around the country. They have no problem going, who drafted me? Detroit. I've never even been there before. They have no clue, no history, and they don't seem to want to know about history of this sad sack franchise since Billy Ford took it over at the end of 1963. You tell them, do you understand why the fans and the media are so pissed off at you guys? No. That's because you're not from Detroit. Haven't been through it all these years, and you don't seem to care.
And they shouldn't care. They shouldn't care because it doesn't affect them. What affects them is what happens now.
Looks like it does.
Is he talking to us like that? I don't know. He's talking to us like that. What about what?
I mean, we've been here longer than he has.
He's been here longer than both of us. He grew up here. Here's what we had Wayne Fonts on this time last week. Here's what Wayne had to say about the Lions, and this is before they almost beat Kansas City.
The Lions are a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
Ever since they brought in their quarterback, Stafford, and I heard a lot of bad, you know, he does this, he throws interceptions. From the day he arrived in Detroit, I thought he was outstanding. And today, maybe Tom Brady, you could put ahead of him, but this guy's pretty good. And the Lions football team's getting better and better.
Now, he did point out that he feels Stafford is a really, really great quarterback and one of the best in the game today. I tell you, Matt is good. I think Matt is good enough to take them to the playoffs. Matt is good enough to win a playoff game. But there's Carson Wentz, there's Russell Wilson, there's Dak Prescott, there's Phillip Rivers, there's Goff, there's Mahomes, there's Watson, there's Rodgers. There's a lot of great quarterbacks in the game today. He is one of them, and he's good enough with the players around him to win.
Do you know that a week ago Sunday, almost every quarterback was 26 years and younger? A week ago Sunday.
And Matt's hurt all the time. Yeah. He showed a lot of guts on Sunday by playing with those back problems. But do you remember the great Ohio State punter, Tom Skladany?
Sure.
Yes.
Was drafted by the Lions and came to Detroit. His first day in Detroit, I put a microphone in front of him. It's like I could have hit him in the face. And I said, do you realize you're coming to the biggest laughingstock franchise in the NFL with a history of futility and failure under the Fords? And he looked at me like, how can you say that? When he and Eddie Murray threw their shoes in the garbage and walked out of the Lions in frustration years later,
Tom sought
me out and said, Bob, you were so right.
Well, you're wrong about the shoes. That was John Woodcock threw his shoes in the trash and walked out on the team. That was a couple of years previous to that. Back during the...
I thought that was the two kickers together. Did they not all three of them do it then?
I don't think Eddie Murray ever did that. Or that it doesn't sound like
it's out of character for Eddie.
And talking about quarterbacks, Tom Brady had an awful game yesterday.
Terrible.
What was it, 45.9 passer rating? He went to his post-game news conference and said, well, that was riveting. That was a riveting performance, wasn't it? But still, they managed to win. They managed to beat the Bills, whose quarterback, Josh Allen, was KO'd in the game. Another quarterback that goes down. It's amazing how many this year have been injured. And so Stafford played hurt, but he did make it through the game. Baker Mayfield, this was a big game for Cleveland. Cleveland came in with all the hype. You know, all the hype, like they were 7-8 last year, but they won, I think, 5 of their last 7. They were 1-2, and had they lost at Baltimore, they're 1-3. He come out, there are a lot of heat nationally because, the thing about Mayfield is he was a walk-on who won the Heisman Trophy. So he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's constantly has got a very thin skin.
Defending himself all the time.
Right, and Rex Ryan had really gotten under his skin. And so here, I want you to listen to what Ryan had said, kind of as a studio guy to kind of create some controversy, and then what Mayfield said after the game yesterday.
Pat Mahomes is the favorite to win the MVP. Baker Mayfield is second in our league. Why is he overrated? I don't know. I never voted him second in the league to be MVP. You're supposed to be Joe Superstar. Go prove it.
Whatever. In the wise words of Freddie Kitchens, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter. And Rex Ryan doesn't have any colors right now for a reason, so it's okay.
Did Rex Ryan saying that you're overrated as hell fuel you?
Absolutely not. Rex Ryan does not get any credit for this week's win.
So that's kind of a little side feud. By the way, Mayfield's got another side feud going on with Antonio Brown. You know,
before we get to that, a couple things about Cleveland. First of all, it's like the FLs. The Cleveland Clowns are the Cleveland Clowns. They are going to let you down, and they are not going to win. And the other thing that I thought was really cool, the coach of the Clowns is pissed off because one of the opposing players tried to choke Odell Beckham Jr. You know what? Wouldn't we all like to choke Odell Beckham Jr.? What's to be upset about?
I'd like to have him on my team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell yes.
Anyway, what did
by the way, Humphrey apologized to Beckham. I don't know if you guys know that, but he was going down the tunnel, and Humphrey ran after him and apologized to him, and he said, by the way, Beckham didn't apologize to me, because Beckham hit him right in the jaw.
Mayfield has been jousting with Antonio Brown. Don't ask me why, but he has been. Brown now has 9, we thought we're done, he has 9 appeals.
Yeah.
Nine against the league, from the fines that the Raiders gave him, $215 grand, to salary guarantees. He wants the $29 million from Oakland. He wants a signing bonus. He wants unpaid week one salary. He wants the Patriots salary guarantee. So anyway.
And you know, he's going to get some of that.
At that level, can you fathom how expensive attorneys are
and how much
they charge per hour? Who's paying that? Who's paying those legal fees?
Probably, he doesn't pay anybody.
Players Association is doing it on his
association.
Yeah. So it's all the Players Association.
Absolutely. Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
I wonder how the other players in the NFL feel about their own union paying for 9 appeals by this idiot.
Well, there's one thing about the union. The union steps in for everybody if they want to be asked to come in. They don't necessarily jump in automatically. There's no button you hit, and they show up with the attorneys. You got to request it, and I suspect that all the association attorneys, by the way, are these guys that charge $1,000 an hour. So it's a pretty good job.
I want to talk a little bit more. I want to talk about college football. A lot going on there. But first, I want to remind you that eye surgery is a lot like No Filter. It's about lifestyle and it's convenience. You can listen to us whenever you want. And if you get eye surgery to correct distance vision, close vision, astigmatism, anything at all, you are free to never have to deal with glasses and contacts or those abhorrent reading glasses again. That's why Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's number one eye surgeon. 30,000 LASIK procedures, 20 or 30,000, I don't know what the exact number is, over 20,000 lens replacements, which it allows people to read perfectly for the rest of their life, as well as have great far vision. In fact, that's for people 45 plus. One guy, Dave, was like others wrote, I went for my one-year checkup and my implants, 20/15 vision in both eyes. Get the best and pay the least. Dr. Yaldo promises to beat any LASIK offer. You get a lot of noise out there about low-price LASIK. Then you find out what the real price is. The evaluation is free. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or just go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
And Hall Financial, one of our favorite guys, has received nearly 800 five-star reviews from their happy clients. And they're on a mission to hit 1,000 yet in this year, 2019. The team of mortgage professionals.
Well, it's 801 with Eli now because Eli just had his mortgage redone with them. Isn't that right?
Yeah, Bob. 801? Bob, this is a long read. Let's try not to interrupt. Let's let Denny get through it because Denny's going to ad lib his way through it. Just read the copy, okay?
Bob, thank you very much for that input. This team of mortgage professionals provides every client with VIP service, ensuring that they feel like a name and not a number. What if I told you that they could skip a mortgage payment and lower your payment? You could do that. Or if I told you that Hull Financial will not only walk you through the process of buying your home, but provide you with a top realtor in your area. Who doesn't want that type of service? Hull Financial knows how to deliver five-star service. That means your schedule, availability at night and on weekends. They are going to work for you at any time, and you won't be charged hidden or extra fees. You know what you're getting when you work with Hull Financial. Call them today at 248-308-5000, 248-308-5000. If you're looking to purchase or refinance, or chat with them online at davidhallmortgage.com. That's davidhallmortgage.com. Give Hull Financial a chance today. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435. We should play those numbers, Eli.
Thank you. Thank you, Denny. You are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. That's for our radio listeners. Anyway, nothing more on NFL except for the fact that now there's talk. They want to maybe want a 17-game season. I'm saying 17. Would that make any sense?
Money.
Anyway, The Athletic reports the NFL has dropped the idea of the 18 in favor of a 17-game season, and they still would like to get rid of a preseason game, which – who knows?
They'd have to get rid of a preseason, wouldn't they?
They want to. Everybody wants that to happen. So let's talk a little bit about Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan, I watched the game only in highlights. I wasn't going to spend 3.5 hours to watch them beat up a tomato can. And that's actually a boxing term, a tomato can. Kind of an opponent. Remember when Ali would go on the road show where Joe Louis had his bum of the month? That's what it was. But I will say this about their 52-0 win over Rutgers, okay? It shows. They have superior athletes. They've got great athletes. And football, unlike baseball, where the players are really, you know, it's hard for a manager to screw up. A manager can win a couple of games a year for you. Maybe with the pitching staff, Denny, I'll ask your expertise here. In football, it's about the coaching. And that's what's happened to the Michigan team. Nobody's got better players than Michigan, but the results are a lack of coaching or a lack of scheme or a lack of belief and all that. So,
well, you couldn't tell any of that to 110,000 people that were there Saturday, could you?
There were some empty seats. There's a lot of non-believers now at Michigan.
But there's still 110,000 showed up.
No, they said they were, but there were, yeah. People are there, so there were not 110,000 people.
I just don't understand how they got so good. I do know how. I mean, they played Rutgers.
Right, Rutgers
let's
awful.
Not, let's not lose that. But the idea that you just made a statement that they've gotten better.
I didn't say that. No.
Well,
so they've got the Rutgers
like
was
it.
7-29 the last three seasons, coming off a 1-11 right. In their two games against Big Ten teams. They're losing 82-0 because Iowa beat them 30-0.
And so they're off. What happened Sunday? What happened Sunday? They fired Chris Ash, the former Ohio State assistant who was Rutgers head coach, and they fired the offensive coordinator the day after the game as well. Now you're talking about talent. How about Joe Milton? Did you see him playing that game? Mm-hmm. 6'5", 240 pounds with a rocket arm. This guy is the third string quarterback at Michigan. And I'll tell you what, I would be happy to trade Brian Lewerke right now for Michigan's third string quarterback.
This
guy's unbelievable. Then they bring up that who the hell is Hassan Haskins? All of a sudden he's playing running back for Michigan and just churning out yardage. They have so much talent, as you said, and they do underachieve, as you said.
How could you tell they got so much talent? They played Rutgers.
No. We know they got great talent, okay?
Don't be frustrated, sweetie. Don't be so frustrated.
They got great talent. I'm not judging it against Rutgers.
I don't know if they've got great talent. I haven't seen any of it. I haven't seen any of it since he got here. That's the problem. And listen, I was one of his biggest cheerleaders when he first came here. I thought, man, we got an NFL guy coming in here. He knows how to run plays. He knows what the short passes and the long passes are all about. He knows what an in and out is. He knows all of that stuff. And lo and behold, where the hell is it?
Well, we haven't seen it yet. And we'll see what happens the rest of the year. I was told he hired Josh Gattis without really meeting him, which would shock me. I don't know.
That would be
Denny, if you're saying that you haven't seen Michigan's talent, it means to me you're not watching Michigan play football. Look at the guys they sent to the NFL just in the last few years under Harbaugh. Look at the guys they recruit. It's unbelievable. But as Eli says, and as all three of us have been saying, they just by Michigan standards, they just underachieved.
Bob, you can blow as much damn wind as you want. They're not winning. They are not winning football games, and you can keep pumping them up and wrapping them up and do whatever you want. They're not winning.
They're winning a lot of football games. They're not.
They're beating Rutgers.
Danny, that's not the point.
The point is
they have they won 52-0, so they're winning. They've only lost one game this year. Point is, they're not playing up to the level of the talent they have. That's what we believe. You can believe that they got bad talent and bad coaching.
I'm not saying they got bad
talent. We believe
they
got bad coaching and good talent. We don't need to beat this up.
I don't know how good the talent is. And I'll tell you this, as far as Rutgers goes, they beat UMass 30-0 or 40, some real bad score the first week of the season. Can you imagine how bad UMass must be?
UMass is bad.
Oh, my Lord.
Comparative stars. Now, I want to mention something, speaking of the East, as you were right there. Everybody was shocked in New England this year when Greg Schiano suddenly resigned under Bill Belichick. He gave no reasons. What are you talking about? You're walking out on the team? The deal is that Schiano was surprised even then that there was going to be an opening at Rutgers for head football coach, that Chris Ash was not getting it done and he wasn't going to do it. And they said, we want you back. Now, when Greg Schiano was at Rutgers, he had built amazingly a national powerhouse. They finished eighth in the country in the polls 1 year. So this might save Rutgers' spot in the Big Ten if Schiano comes back and if he can find the magic in his native home state that he once had.
Speaking of coaches, love that Indiana coach, Tom Allen. He's done a good job there. They had lost at home, by the way, 51-10 to Ohio State. Want to get to Ohio State in a minute. They really gave Michigan State all they could handle. This freshman quarterback, Michael Penix, amazing. 20 straight completions he had, 20 in a row. And then that came that day that the it was 34-31. The 40-31 final was a little bit misleading. But now the question is, and Lewerke's playing better. A couple of TD tosses to Darryl Stewart. They got great chemistry.
Did you watch that game?
Yes,
did
I did. I watched that game. Yes.
Okay, good. Then you know that with Michigan State leading 7-0 in the first quarter, Lewerke's got a wide open, easy touchdown pass, and he just overthrows the receiver by 3 yards. Yeah. This is why there are some people who are down on Brian Lewerke, who generally played well. He just misses too many throws.
Yes. Well, let's say something good about him, too. He was 18 for 36 for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good day.
18 for 36 is okay. But no, the point is, he's better than last year when he had a, shoulder problem, but he's still kind of a scatter arm. Michigan State goes to Ohio State.
Ooh.
I want to get into this right now because I've watched Ohio State beating Nebraska the way Michigan beat Rutgers. Just an unfair matchup. Just so the quality of play was so much, I'll say, so much superior. So they got their incredible quarterback, Justin Fields. Now, he was the backup to Jake Fromm at Georgia and then managed to transfer to Ohio State. So how do they get this greatest quarterback or one of the top two or three Heisman Trophy candidates? It was alleged that racist remarks were shouted at him during a game last year. We don't know whether he even heard them or not. A student reported it. And then the guy, the baseball player, Adam Sasser, apologized on Twitter, said, I'm so sorry. My actions caused pain and distress. They kicked him out of Georgia. And they gave, through his attorney, Thomas Mars, Justin Fields was able to leave Georgia without having to sit out a year because, and this is this politically correct snowflake BS that none of us are for, and not that racial taunts should ever be justified, but come on now. If he wasn't behind Jake Fromm, he'd have been perfectly happy to stay at Georgia. We heard Lem Barney talk about having to drink at black water fountains when Bob said, you've talked about what Willie Horton and Gates Brown would do. I'm not trying to be racially insensitive. We are all hate racism, okay? It's wrong and should never have been there. However, this is a lame excuse to get out. And here's the reason. I'm not saying Justin Fields shouldn't have done it. At the time when this was going down, Jim Harbaugh said, well, what if guys make it up in the future? Which was kind of looked at as insensitive as a bad comment. Because, you know, I was hurt and I, for my own safety and well-being, you know, I just need to go. This is because Justin Fields is an NFL future star. And he shouldn't have to be a backup anywhere. And the players now have got more rights than they ever had in college football. They're saying, you can't hold me back. This is a basically a corrupt one-sided, anti-capitalistic system we have here, and you're not going to keep me sitting behind a guy because –
That's what it's about. You're right. The NCAA transfer portal, and there was a big article in one of the Detroit papers this weekend about Michigan State now losing a couple of prominent players. They're not playing enough, and that's what it's about. They want to go somewhere where they can play
collegiate free agency.
So this is all BS. But for Michigan State fans, it's highly unfortunate that he's playing for Ohio State now, as you're going to see on Saturday night on national TV.
You know, and we all agree with one thing. These kids go to certain colleges because they want to get to the NFL. Where, what better school could you go to besides a Michigan and a Michigan State and an Ohio State to see what the NFL is going to look
like? They're high school free agents.
Yep.
They pick the school they want based on opportunity, based on the coach, based on the system and all those things. And now it's gotten to the point where you can't keep me behind three or four other guys like Milton. You know, that's why Harbaugh's got to play Milton. He's got to let Milton think he's got a chance next year. Otherwise, he'll lose Milton, too, and for good reason. Because the coaches make the money, the schools make the money. There's a $14 or $15 billion business, and the athletes are saying, hey, you know, don't hold me back over these BS
and let's
rules.
Not lose sight of what's going to happen and how complicated this and confusing this is going to get when they start paying these kids. That's coming.
But we'll see about we'll that. See but about I would that. Say this, though. We'll if that. You want to know why Michigan State has such trouble against Indiana, you look only at the kinds of players that IU has. They are real quick, and they are real fast. And even Michigan State's vaunted defense had a lot of problems corralling these guys and bringing them down. What do you think is going to happen Saturday night in Columbus?
Well, they're 20-point dogs. And I would think that that's probably a pretty good number. If Michigan State can keep it within three touchdowns, they've done well. Ohio State is that good. In fact, I don't know what they were ranked this year. I haven't seen the polls. This is Monday, September 30th. They can't be number one because Alabama keeps on
Alabama's
winning.
Number one.
But they certainly seem to be as good as anybody, whether they're ranked 3, 4, whatever. What are they ranked this week, Brandon?
I got it here.
Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're that good. They remind me.
And Alabama's number one because Clemson didn't win big enough on Saturday.
Bama's one, Clemson's two, Georgia's three, and OSU is four. Yeah,
well, that's all based on where they were the previous week because Clemson after.
This is this morning.
After barely beating North Carolina, who went for two, Mack Brown went for two in the final seconds of the game, Clemson's not. Doesn't deserve to be number
Well, let me
two.
Give you the next five, the next six. LSU is fifth, Oklahoma is sixth, Auburn is seventh, Wisconsin's eighth. That surprises me a little bit. Notre Dame is ninth.
Hey, guys, can I mention one other note about Florida, Michigan that I've got
and
here?
And Florida's 5-0, and they're 10th.
Go ahead.
One other note about Michigan. What I want to ask you a question. Everybody's familiar with Donovan Peoples-Jones. Speaking of talent, wow, that kid's amazing. What does Donovan Peoples-Jones have in common with these three of his fellow human beings? Jamon Green, Andy Maddox, and Joey Velasquez. Any answers?
No ideas.
They all, four of them, wear number nine at Michigan. They also have four guys who are wearing threes. If they have 423s. So, I mean, what is going on with this stuff at Michigan? The roster max is 125 in college football. It's crazy.
I thought they were heirs to the pickle dynasty.
Yeah, no, they got 125 players. They're not all on scholarship, though. I think you're allowed to have 80 scholarship players or something like that.
A bunch.
Yeah. Anyway, Ohio State should be three touchdown favorites, and they are for next week, and we'll see how that one plays out.
Did you bet on anything this weekend?
Lost on the Lions. I lost on them. I thought that they wouldn't get within seven, and I won on Michigan State, and that's all. I've had two games. That's all I've been on.
Yeah, I had the Bears. I didn't do anything else, just the Bears.
All right, well, let's get into some baseball. But first, I want to remind you about a couple of key sponsors, Red Shovel sponsors we want you to support, like Luke Nowacki of Pinnacle Wealth Management. Get a complimentary consultation. Let Luke answer all your financial questions. He'll create a plan to help you reach your financial goals. His number at Pinnacle Wealth Management, 248-663-4748. He's one of the guys here. He writes us often with questions and a big supporter of the show. We hope you'll support him. That's how we keep our sponsors, and that's how we get paid. Life happens. Got to be prepared for future obligations. Luke will help you do that. Again, that free complimentary consultation, your retirement fast approaching, hard to do it alone. Let Luke help you out. He's a Red Shovel sponsor, and we support him, and you will feel confident on the path that he puts you on. Again, 248-663-4748. Securities Investment Advisory offers Royal through Royal Alliance Associates. No products or reference named here, independent of Royal Alliance Associates. Okay, and finally, Star Lincoln. That's my car.
That's your car.
I love my Nautilus. In fact, I was showing it to a guy the other day after I played golf. He said, "You sound like you love that car." I said, "I do." I showed it to him. He's going to get one from Star Lincoln. Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln, that is the legendary Detroit dealership where a pair of new luxury SUVs are powering a resurgence by Lincoln in 2019. The Aviator, dual suspension, three-row, seven-passenger seating, incredible safety and comfort. My Nautilus, a groundbreaking crossover, all kinds of great features on it. From the audio system to the pre-collision alert, they take care of you. You enjoy your ride, and you drive safely. So see Star's gorgeous showroom, or you can buy your Lincoln from home with the effortless ownership experience. Go to starlincoln.com and order it up. Just roll it in, pick it up. Part of the Star treatment. It's made Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln, Michigan's premier Lincoln dealership at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. And you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast.
Okay, can we do this baseball segment on one condition? Don't even mention the you-know-whos who play in downtown Detroit. Let's get to some real baseball news.
Well, before we do that, I got something to say. The Tigers have gone big time.
You are going to mention it.
I am going to, but not on the
field. Not in depth. I've got to mention too, but not in depth, Bob. We'll respect your request.
Certain little things. The Tigers have really made a major announcement yesterday at the end of the season. This is one of the more glorious, incredibly unbelievable statements. This ball club at one time never believed in a computer. This ball club at one time never wanted to – they still were using the Chinese board at one time. Jim Campbell could do that with his toes and his fingers.
The abacus. They're using an abacus, yes.
Absolutely. Jim could do all of that. But Jim did not want to turn a computer on. Well, let me tell you what they've done. You know, they added analytics.
Jim Campbell was dead before the computer.
Let me finish. They added analytics a couple of years ago with one guy in the analytic department. Then Al Avalok decided, well, let's add a few more people. At the end of last year, they had 14. Now they're getting ready to add up to 10 or 12 more people in the analytical department.
Oh, boy, the pennant is ours.
It's ours. I'm telling you, it's all over with. We don't need to do anything else. Everybody's going to lay down and say,
you know,
they got more analytics than we do.
That's fine, they did it, but they were too little. Too late.
Yes.
And your analytics are different than the other teams. They all have their own algorithms, their own systems. And so you can have all the analytics people you want. If the analytics aren't very good and you don't know how to gather them, then you're going to fall behind.
Let me tell you what Ron Garnheyer says. We're going out in search of college people that really know how to run a computer.
Well, here's what's weird about baseball as it starts. And this is...
Yeah.
This
all right,
is
now, to deliberately change the subject, one guy who's been into this for a long time is the brilliant Theo Epstein.
Yes.
Now, he
got
into a meeting with Joe Maddon the other day, and they both decided it was time for the proverbial change of scenery. So Joe was out in Chicago like it's his fault. I mean, what happened to the Cubs? How about Theo's investment in Yu Darvish in 2018? 6 years... averaging $20 million a season.
Yep.
Darvish is 7-11 total in that time.
Yeah.
He went 6-8 with a 4 ERA this year. Schwarber got hurt down the stretch. Now Joe's 65. He says he wants to manage again, and guess where he might be going, boys?
Right.
He might be going to the Angels.
Absolutely.
Who are on the verge, supposedly, according to ESPN, of firing former Tigers manager Brad Ausman after just 1 year.
No surprise to me.
72-90 this year.
I was so disappointed when Brad was here. Here was a catcher, a guy that played a lot of games, a guy who was in the middle of the action for many, many years, is a pretty good catcher, by the way. God, he had no concept of pitching. He had no concept at all of pitching. Was always late with the pitcher, never early, and he just had a bad...
What do you mean late? You mean pulling him?
Yeah.
He used to go to the mound to take Verlander out, and Justin would like say, no.
No, I'm not leaving.
He would turn around and go back.
You know, and that's the story I always had with Mayo. Mayo come out there one time, the first time, and said, I taking you out. I said, you are like hell.
Yeah.
Get the ball.
Yeah.
All he had to do was turn to the umpire and ask for a ball.
I know what you're saying, because Ausmus drove me nuts from a strategic standpoint, but anything after Jim Leland, just from a standpoint of strategic baseball and moves, anything after Leland would have been better.
Anything after Leland?
Nuts.
You didn't like Leland?
It's not that I don't like him or don't think he's a great baseball man. I'm just talking about his strategic moves or not moves. When to take guys out, when not to take guys out, lineup changes, just all kinds of decisions with Leland drove me crazy.
There's two things he did. Number one, he could manage a ball club very well. And number two, he had a great inherent ability to recognize talent in a player. And I'm talking about talent on other clubs that they could make a deal for in the offseason or during a period of time.
Except for his closers. I'll just name Papa Pequeño right off the top. When he just is maddening, night after night, throwing these horse manure guys out there thinking it's going to be a different result. A
couple things to talk about before the playoffs start. The season ended yesterday, Sunday. This is Monday, September 30th. Four teams won 100 games. 107, the Astros. 106, the Dodgers. 103, the Yankees. Now, when the Tigers won, your Tigers won in 68, they won 103 games, a huge amount. Guess what? Four teams also lost 100 games. Yeah. Kansas City, 103. Baltimore, 108. Miami, 105. Detroit, 114. You got more homers than ever. 307 broke the old record, 268 or something like that, by a ton. A record for strikeouts. There's too much non-action in baseball right now. And by the way, the ball will be reviewed in the offseason with scientists to see whether we peel the ball back or not. But as we go into the playoffs, a lot of excitement. However, look how unfair this is. Washington wins 93 games. They could be eliminated with a one-game series.
Yep.
Tampa Bay won 96 games. Excuse me, the A's won 97. One of these teams will be eliminated with a one-game playoff, a wild card. It's ridiculous.
And with the greed in all of professional sports, they want to play more games. Why can't they do a 2 out of 3 wild card series or something?
I've never understood a one-game playoff. I never have. I mean, it's unfair to everybody. It's unfair to the fans. I mean, you sit through 162 games, and now you're going to decide everything in 2.5 hours?
And I thought, I forget, was it the Cards or the Brewers? There was going to be a one-game playoff if they were tied to set up the one-game wild card playoff.
Yeah, right.
How ridiculous is that? You got double jeopardy twice after 162 games. So, I don't know. Anyway, the Astros are heavy favorites. They start they in the ALDS. They will play the wild card winner, which will be Tampa and Oakland Wednesday. So.
But first Tuesday night, it's Milwaukee at Washington.
Right.
Max is going to pitch for the Nationals. I like that. And against a kid named Brandon Woodruff. Nats were 4-2 during the season, and the Brewers do not have superstar Christian Yelich due to injury. Now, Eli mentioned, Denny, the records of clubs coming in. Atlanta, for instance, lost 5 of its last 6, while Washington was 8-0. Does that matter how you do down the stretch late in the season going into the postseason?
You don't even remember yesterday. You really don't. I mean, you're everything is a new uniform, new shoes, new ball, new glove. I mean, you're ready to go. This is a whole new draw the line in the sand and play. That's really what it gets down to. Nobody's concerned with if he hit a home run in the ninth inning at the 100th game. Nobody cares. Right now, it's every day is death. Every day is near death in these playoffs. So you got to put all the best you got every day.
Astros finished by winning 12 of their last 14.
Yep.
They're listed as 33% odds to win the whole thing. Dodgers 26% odds. They won 106 games, and everything that's kind of goes way down. Yankees 11%.
I don't know how the Astros are going to lose with that pitching staff in a short series. Did you see that Garrett Cole on Sunday
won his 20th?
Okay. Yep. It's his 16th straight victory that he's had this year. ERA 2.50. And as opposed to strikeout guys like Denny McClain and Mickey Lolich, he's going in an era where he pitches once every 5 days with the 5 starters. He still led the MLB with 326 strikeouts. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
And JV, of course, won 21. He struck out 300. The Astros are just a great club.
And Bregman's the MVP candidate. They got it all. Yeah.
Not only that, they got a guy with tons and tons of money, and he's finally to get an owner in Houston that wants to put a winning team on the field, and they've got a winning team on the field. I've never seen such a good club.
Verlander, by the way.
How about the Yankees? They're playing Minnesota. You like the Yankees' chances?
I like the Yankees, but they have no pitching. How do you go against
so many injury problems?
Oh, terrible. And listen,
but
it's a miracle.
In a short series, that's not probably going to hurt you as much as 162 games.
You throw out everything with a short series. Anything can happen in a 3-5-7 game series.
See, you got all these teams with the Yankees 103 wins,
right.
Twins 101. I remember 1959, the Dodgers won the pennant with 88 games that went to the World Series. 90 games was a lot. You could go to the World Series with 90 games. Cleveland won 93 games, didn't even get in this year.
Didn't they played fewer games, though.
They played 154 instead of 162, but still.
Yeah. And why did a young Eli Zarrett remember that 1959 World Series so well. Let me just put it this way, because I've been remiss so far. Happy Rosh Hashanah, Eli. Larry Sherry, one of the great relief pitchers for a short time in the history of baseball.
I roomed with Larry for a week. That was enough.
Yeah, he pitched for the Tigers, too.
Yes, he did.
By the way.
Well, what was he like? Why do you say that was enough?
Well, he was, you know, this was at the end of his career, and he was an older guy, and I'm a young guy. And,
Wait, Larry Sherry, Norm Sherry the catcher, or Larry Sherry the pitcher?
Others.
He had a great curveball, but he threw it funny, and nobody else could throw it like that. But he got
right. In that World Series, he had 8 2/3 scoreless innings.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. Great curveball, but what he used to – I'll give you the definition of Larry Sherry. He ran around with Ray Euler.
Oh, boy.
Do I have to say anymore?
Now, his brother Norm, the catcher, is credited with turning Sandy Koufax's career
That's
around.
That's right.
So that he told him to dial it back a little bit. Don't try and throw everything 105.
Strikes.
Throw strikes. Yeah. By the way, Verlander's a war, 7.7. War is they when they translate it into salaries, it's $8 million a war. So Verlander was worth $60 million this year to the Astros. That's why Mike Trout... who has a $400 million contract, you can argue is worth closer to $1 billion. But that's when
as the playoffs begin, there's one other major negative about baseball. This is huge news. ESPN was all over today. Do you realize that the final figure for the 2019 regular season in game time, 3 hours, 5 minutes, 35 seconds? Now, fellas, that topped the game time last year in 2017 of 3:05:11. So in other words, the average time of a Major League Baseball game this year was a full 24 seconds longer than it was back then in 2017.
The point is
everybody in a hurry? Why are they in a hurry to get baseball games over with?
The changes they made in 18 obviously don't work with the fewer visits and all that. The average length of a game, though, in 2005 was 2 hours and 46 minutes. So, Bob, 20 minutes longer is a big percentage longer just 10 years later.
Are you in a hurry? Are you taking medicine? Only Eli Zarrett, and this is the one guy, I'm serious about this, gets to a baseball game with you. You sit down for the top of the first
inning.
How long do you want to stay? I'm
he
not in a hurry.
Stay.
It's baseball.
Because at home I can watch a Tiger game in an hour and a half.
But you know what? You got to eat your hors d'oeuvres quick with him because they're going to be gone and by the third inning. They're gone.
And when he's done eating and drinking,
which is
usually about the third, you're right, he's out of there.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
Out of there. I'm not in a hurry at a baseball game.
Me either. And you know what? How they can make the games quicker? And you guys will never understand this, but I'm going to try. Raise the mound. Put it back where it was.
Yeah.
You'll throw more strikes. You'll throw better strikes. And you'll throw the ball a little bit less velocity-wise.
Yeah. We don't need more strikeouts,
And I'll tell you something
though.
Else, Denny. When I was a little boy growing up, you'd see Hank Aguirre and Phil Regan and Jim Bunning go up there, flail at three pitches, and go sit down.
Right.
Now you got the DH in the American League. These guys are outstanding hitters, and that's what makes games longer.
Well, that's one of them. But the thing that makes games longer are walks. One walk after another, and you're throwing more pitches because you're striking more guys out. I mean, that's extending the game in any way but upstairs, you know? It's crazy. Just crazy.
I like baseball just fine, and I'm looking forward to the playoffs.
Me too.
Did you hear the story about Mattress Mack, the Houston furniture salesman?
Mattress Mack, no.
Mattress Mack offers Astro fans, if they buy a mattress costing $3,000 or more, mattress, he'll refund the money if the Astros win the World Series.
Oh, my God.
He did this in the past, and they were, he did this in the past. In 2015, he offered refund purchases if the Seahawks beat the Broncos in Super Bowl, 53, whatever. He expected to do only $2 or $3 million in business. However, he did $9 million in business, and then the Seahawks won the Super Bowl and cost him $9 million in purchases. So he is doing it again.
And here we are with, as you said, Eli, a Detroit-based show, though I'm in New York City. And on a Detroit-based show, we're talking about this guy. Everybody's talking about this guy, so he's already got his money's worth no matter what happens.
That's right.
National publicity.
Right. Now, in 2017, when the Astros won the first World Series, the promotion cost them more than $13 million. because he went around to Vegas trying to place bets, and they didn't really get him all in there. And so he declined to specify how much money he was able to wager in 2017. He's trying to wager $10 million this time around. Go ahead.
I've actually talked to this guy multiple times.
Have
he
you
makes
really?
So much money back on insurance. He's insured on a lot of these things.
Okay.
So, yeah, he cleans up every time Houston does well in any sporting event.
Brilliant.
Right. That, of course, is Brandon McAfee, our producer. But I would ask you this, Brandon. How much is that insurance cost, and what companies are going to underwrite that?
Especially when it's a 50-50 chance.
I'm not sure, but the man is a very, very wealthy and successful dude. He'll be okay.
Anyway, we got to say goodbye to our radio listeners now. That's on WDFN and WCWA. The rest of you can please stay on. Well, of course you're on because you're listening on the podcast.
Yes, they are.
We're going to get into the mailbag. Let's do that.
Well, they can shut the podcast off, but why would anybody ever want to do such a thing?
Because anyway, they want to listen to the mailbag.
You radio people have been listening.
Shut it off.
Have been listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay.
Wow.
Now, with our podcast listeners, I think it's time for the mailbag. Let's get something else. Now,
I got one other thing. A guy by the name of Burfict yesterday in an NFL game has now been suspended.
That's Vontaze Burfict. He's a prominent
player. He's now been suspended for the season for what he did.
Really?
He's a multiple offender.
Yeah, multiple.
Headhunter.
More ways than one. And he hit him, and he speared him when he was on the ground.
Who did he hit yesterday? That's not the guy that hit Josh Allen, is it?
Jack Doyle.
Okay,
I see stuff like that, and you know what I wonder? One of the hallmarks of steroid use is ultra-violence and anger.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's taking roids. I don't know the guy. Just saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of rage in football to play the game properly, so you don't know whether it's coming from drugs or just your own.
Maybe they should make them all smoke joints before they go out in the field.
Well, they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to smoke them afterwards, too, even though...
Let's share a little love.
You got Calvin Johnson, right. Darren McCarty, John Sally. Former players used to sell shaving cream, cars, insurance. Now they're saying, hey, I needed this stuff to help me get through the pain,
right.
And now I'm going to be an advocate for it.
Right.
Never would have guessed that happening 10 years ago, but good for all of them.
It's incredible. Absolutely.
Speaking of Darren McCarty, now, when are the wings open? I'm a little concerned about
wings open. Red Wings fixing to open up on Saturday night down in Nashville.
Okay.
Maybe go to Grand Ole Opry.
Hey, by the way.
Holy Hill game against them Predators.
By the way, I'm going to be in Nashville this weekend.
You going down there to see a hockey game?
I'm going down there to do a show. And maybe
I didn't think y'all was going to see a hockey game.
I didn't know they were going to be there. We may jump in on the game then Saturday night.
All right, what you got in the bag? What you got in the mailbag?
Mailbag. Here's a good question.
By the way,
fellas,
before you start, let's give the number, okay? 760-89-BALLS. 760-89-BALLS. Leave a voicemail message or a text. And also,
you can email us
at asknofilter@gmail.com. So,
or they can text all three of us at Eli Zaret, at MU2Denny, or at Bob Page Sports. Okay?
Okay.
Here's a good question leading off the mailbag, and I think I might have messed this up. I don't have a name on this. Maybe I omitted it. If I did, I'm very sorry. But think about this, fellas. So, as we know, Jordan Zimmerman finishes 1-13 with an ERA close to 8.
No, not it's, what
the
no,
Tigers.
Not, close
what
to
do
eight,
the
seven.
Tigers do with him next
close
year?
To seven, yeah.
Did they? Is that what it is? Seven.
Yeah, he was 6'9".
What do the Tigers
six,
do? What do the Tigers do with him next year? Do they stick him in the bullpen? Do they just release him? Would they release him and just eat that $25 million remaining on his contract?
They may well eat it. They may find somebody to take 10% of it. I mean, I don't know how you could give it to anybody.
No.
You could give him away on a performance thing, but I don't know if that's legal in Major League Baseball with the union. There's a number of ways to get rid of him, but I think the shortest, quickest way, just release him.
They've done it before.
Yeah.
They've done it before with a lot
that's
of guys.
That's a lot of money, $25 million?
But he's eaten
he
up
He just
the
doesn't
space.
Fit in, right. He just doesn't fit in with the team's plans. It's been 3 or 4 years now where he hasn't pitched well, or at least 2 or 3. The entire contract he's pitched, he's been here 4 years now and hasn't really come through. So I think that if they're serious about rebuilding –
And listen, he had good stuff at one time. But
yeah, well, you think about the way the Tigers roll and you think about what's happened to them, think of the money that he's going to make next year when he signs with somebody else, pockets the $25 million, and then goes 15-7 with an ERA of 3.3.
Like Anibal Sanchez, he may have a couple of good games, but he's not going to
happen. Now, we got a lot of comments, of course, about the interview we did last week with Lance Parrish, who was terrific. We love Lance. But Grosse Pointe Charles, who has been with us on the show before, this is what he says. Great interview with Lance, but he is not a major league manager. It's questionable that they even bring him back to the Class A level for next season. If you Google Lance, he's not that well thought of as a manager. They had to kick him in the ass to work harder a few years ago. Is that true or not?
I don't know.
That's what I've been told by any number of people. I don't know how true it is, because when I saw him in Grand Rapids that day, he was busting his ass all over the ballpark, running with guys, talking to guys. I mean, he was constantly doing something with a player. So I don't know if it was to impress us, which there was no reason to impress us. And he was just – listen, he was in charge. He was really a – it was like a drill sergeant, the way I looked at him when I walked out of
there. Every former player, just about, wants to be a major league manager. Look what happened to Darrell Evans. Evans, another one they said just never worked hard enough and blew the chances he had. So I don't know.
And it's hard to believe Darrell never got offered a real serious job in baseball.
Well, really, because they thought he was he related to the players well, and that he was lazy. Yeah. So
you don't know. All right, continuing on, Josh writes, this podcast is really going to be one of my favorites and a must listen. Love the banter, you guys. He says, my first childhood memory of Eli and Denny was eating at their restaurant in Novi.
Oh, yes.
We've discussed that before, haven't we? What do you guys know about cooking or running a restaurant?
Nothing.
We knew how to pick up a check.
You proved that, didn't you?
All I know is they paid me $1,600 a month to use my name, and I could eat there whenever I wanted. It was a pretty good deal.
Food was pretty good.
That's usually how it works.
I wasn't really happy.
That's the way it worked with the late Mickey Mantle in New York. Yeah. Eli, you've been there many times, the old Mickey Mantle restaurant
on
Central Park
South. Only once, because
they paid him a lot of money to use his name.
I ate the food and didn't go back to Mickey Mantle's restaurant.
No, the food was not good. You're totally right. It really wasn't. So here's Joe Conflitti, who steps forward and says, I have not missed a show yet. Love how differently the show operates in comparison to the corporate world of radio. You are all professional. Stories you tell are great. I'm 37, and I love the George Kell impressions and impersonations. All right. Greg Wilsinski wrote a nice note. He gave a number of opinions about Detroit sports teams. Just been tuned in for several months, he adds. Now, here's the salient thing about this. Greg says he wants to hear 5 shows per week. Now, we've talked about expanding this show, going to 3 shows. What is the status of that, Mr. Zaret?
This is a private conversation. What are you trying to air our laundry here? What are you talking about?
It's not laundry, and it's not dirty laundry. Are we going to go to 3 shows or not?
I will go to 3 shows when we get 5 more sponsors. I'll go to 3 shows.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
We need more sponsors.
Very good. Now, this is great stuff here. I never think to check all these websites where you can review and rate podcasts and shows on a 1-5-star basis. I don't even know what a lot of them are, but Eli and Brandon do. And Eli sent us all a couple of reviews, just a couple, via email. Quote, this trio of erstwhile sportscasters turned curmudgeons never fails to illuminate, entertain, and challenge.
Good writing.
Absolutely an antidote to the charmless sports drones littering the airwaves. Keep the stories and the iconoclastic attitude coming, gentlemen. That's from Vlad, originally from Detroit. And in Tampa,
Vlad.
Do you think we shouldn't be doing topics like your favorite candy bar and who are the hottest female anchors in Detroit? I don't think we should be doing that stuff.
You know, seriously, for guys Brandon's age and younger, sports talk radio is about bitchin' babes and brewskis, man. You know, I mean, the kind of palaver that goes on just isn't at, let's put it this way, our level of maturity.
The sports radio that I'm used to is just caller driven. And to tell you the truth, I don't care what the guy next door to me has to say. I want to know what people are going to talk about in-depth sports. So.
And, you know, and I'll add to that. I mean, I got a friend of mine who's a sergeant over in the Chicago. Of course, he'd be a cop. But they get around.
Illinois.
They get around Winnetka, Illinois, actually. And he gets them all together on a Monday or Tuesday night, and they sit around and listen to the show for an hour and a half. And then they talk about what we talked about. And then they argue the rest of the week. So we're getting a lot of play out there from a lot of guys. And this is Chicago. This isn't in our backyard.
My favorite part of sports talk radio, and it goes, I think, more to the old days. I think this is kind of – a caller would call in and say, listen, let's do this. let's trade Jordan Zimmerman and Victor Reyes, and let's get Justin Verlander back. Yeah. And then the host has got to say, you can't trade garbage to get quality players.
Or the other one is, who is your favorite manager?
All right, continuing on, here's another review. You ready for this? I'm quoting again, folks. Three Musketeers, amateurs. Mo, Larry, and Curly, stooges that just don't compare. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and okay, that's a bit much. But this hilarious trio of egocentric veteran sports and media journalists, Eli Zarrett and Bob Page, and one hell of a legendary right-hander, Denny McClain. No filter, boy, that's an understatement. This triad of entertaining podcasters have an opinion on today's sports scene that will either make you jam on your brakes in traffic and disagreement or have you doubled over in laughter. Comedic timing? These guys put Carson Hope and Benny to shame.
Oh,
if you know who these three comic legends are, you still got to tune into these three amazing Detroit-based sports yammeisters, giving the listeners sports-based insight and nuance wrapped up in some crazy personal stories. A winner. Wow, that's really nice.
Yeah, good writing.
And let me make a statement here.
Five stars.
Let us let the people know that we don't solicit these. I mean, we ask people to write us and give us their opinions, but we do not tell you to write.
Well, I found the wherever that was located. There's 315 reviews we've gotten, and most of them are 5-star.
It took you 8 months to find the location.
There are no 2s, 3s, and 4s.
Either 5s.
There are some ones,
and I'm extremely interested in fairness, so let me continue.
Well, you got a one.
Here's a one rating from somebody who goes as PNW Matthew. This came in August. Again, I just don't see these sites. And he says, and I quote, "Let me know when you replace Bob Page. He's insufferable." Thank you, and a premature Merry Christmas to you too, PNW. Then in July, one very pleasant guy also rated us 1 star out of 5 and said, and I quote, "It's not the Bob Page show. Please, please get rid of Bob Page. The guy could sit in a 5x5 room and just talk constantly. He is so annoying." So let's just keep it in perspective.
Brandon, how do we get reviews? How do we solicit reviews?
Well, just anywhere you listen, you should have an option to rate or review the show. Okay. You can also rate and review on Facebook. It helps because it brings us more exposure and it tells us what we need to do, what we need to change, and hell, Bob will even read them on the air.
And it gives us great suggestions for shows. If somebody you want to hear from, we'll try to get that individual.
And Bob, now that you're asking me questions, I wish you wouldn't ask for everyone to hear about when we go to 5 shows a week or whatever. This letter,
you're driving the bus. If you don't know when we're expanding, who does?
Well, you quoted this letter from Joe Conflitti. He also gave interview suggestions that you didn't read.
Yeah, I didn't for various reasons. You want to read them? Go ahead.
I'm going to say he suggested Ray Lane. Ray's a great guy.
Ray would be good.
Ray's 85.
Does he still follow sports?
He's 80. I don't know. He's 85.
He's still sharp.
Is he
still relatively sharp? Yeah.
I told Ray Lane a couple of years ago. I said, you know, because Ray drinks and smokes cigarettes like a fish. I go, you know,
still has.
Whoever said that drinking and smoking hurts you, never talk to you because you're 83 and they haven't slowed you down at all. Alan Trammell, we will get now. If the players are Alan promised us he would come on in October. Lou, I don't think we want Lou. I've talked to Lou before. I love Lou and he's a great guy, but he's not a great.
You racist.
What? I love Lou.
You racist. Why don't you want Lou?
I want Lou. He's just not a great interview, and he's uncomfortable. And they suggested Mickey Lolich. And Mickey Lolich will not come on with us because he hates Denny.
Denny. Well, they don't get along, Lolich and Denny.
But let's do this. I mean, I have no idea what his problem is. I have no idea. If he's still upset about an airplane that is a lie, first of all, the story's a whole lie. But the other thing is, why don't you call him and ask him to come on the show? And then
you know why? Because he was going to come on the Drew and Mike show.
Yeah.
And I set it up through Bill Dow, our mutual friend, because he wrote a book.
Good man.
And when he heard that I was going to be here, he didn't do the interview with them to sell the book, which was so short. I wasn't even going to be here for the interview. It was so short-sighted. So the reason he's mad at you is for what you allegedly wrote in the book that he never read. Which is the book about you. He allegedly...
Well, Charles Barkley claimed he was misquoted.
I'll tell you what I said. I do recall some of what I said. It's not very long, so memory serves me pretty good in this case. What it said was, I thought Mickey Lolich had the greatest arm I ever saw and had some of the best stuff I ever saw in the major leagues. Unfortunately, at times he pitched like he was a 10-center. In other words, He had a 10-cent head. In other words, and this is the example I gave.
What, he didn't like that?
Let me finish.
Mickey didn't like that?
No, he never read it.
I'm going to give you the last line. The last line was, Mickey was the kind of pitcher who would get a guy 0-2 and then throw him a changeup.
Yeah, I know.
Let him hit the ball.
Let me finish.
Let me finish. Because you cut me off all the time.
You've said this
and
before.
People want to hear the stories.
Go ahead.
And the bottom line is, Mickey took exception to the fact that I said when he could not pitch well. He did not manage pitching well. That's what I said about Mickey. Everything else was glowing.
Yeah, it was. But people love to be the purveyor of bad news.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
Mickey, you can't believe what they said about you in the book, which is ridiculous.
It's too bad.
All right, I'm almost done here, fellas, though I think we're kind of entertaining people with our mail. We hope to. I want to thank John Doc Macaron. He is a podcaster himself at what is called Detroit Sports Podcast. Hmm. He also writes, this is the key thing, a Detroit sports column on Sports Illustrated's website. With help from Steve Cimenti, John gave us a huge plug on the Wayne Fonts interview that Eli and Denny did such a great job on. He called it a must-listen show. He published our show info, and he called it, and I quote, a link for the ages to hear this Wayne Fonts interview.
Nice. Isn't that great? Meanwhile, that is we're up to close to 55,000 downloads on that show, which is
going
to
hit 60,
which is close
60.
To 20,000 more than our.
Can you believe I've gone this far in the mailbag and I haven't even mentioned Iffy the Dopester yet? I mean,
no.
It's like the star of the show, right?
Iffy, where's
One
Iffy?
Of the latest picks he found. Here's Denny McLean, a younger Denny. He's sitting on a small terrace outside a club called Denny McLean's Gaffers.
Gaffers.
With a sign underneath it reading, Live Entertainment, Buffet Lunch. What kind of club was that, Denny?
Buffet Lunch? I mean,
that was Atlanta. I owned a couple of clubs down there, one in the underground, one above town.
Did the waitresses keep their clothes on?
Everybody kept their clothes on, Bob. You know, I would not do that any other way.
And, all right, I'm going to ask you this then. Our regular listener, Ed Klee, wanted to know what your buffet lunch cost back then.
I think about $3.95.
I guessed $1.99, but that would be depending on where the waitresses kept their tops when they brought you your lunch.
Well, you know, all we did was serve. Remember this now. This thing was sports themed, so it was hot dogs and hamburgers a lot almost every day.
Was that when you were pitching for Atlanta? Because you hadn't quite puffed up then. That
I had been asked to retire.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This was right after
at age 29.
How long? 29. Did it take you more or less than 100 days to gain 100 pounds?
Oh, stop it, Weasel. Come on.
There was
now.
A great, if he had this great pick, it was a great promo, actually, video of the whole thing.
Sharon thinks
Eli,
I look terrific.
When he was on Channel 7 in New York, in the pouring rain at Shea Stadium with an umbrella up, okay? It was really well done, you know, and he wanted to know what exactly happened to Eli in New York City. You were there a short time as a big and well-paid anchor at Channel 7. Then you got lucky enough to be able to go back to Detroit and be big in Detroit.
Yeah, tell everybody what happened in New York. I want to hear this story.
Well, I could do it quickly. First of all, I didn't do a good job. I wasn't ready for New York. There was a whole different dynamic there, and I tried to take Detroit sports style and bring it there, and it didn't work. Beyond that, though, I was up against Warner Wolf and Marv Albert, who later stopped doing local news. So I go there with the number 3 station up against 2 heavyweights, and it was just a bad experience. I didn't get help. I didn't have good producers. The station was awful. And but the guy that hired me quickly got fired because Cap Cities, ABC sold it to Cap City, so I had new bosses and everything. So I didn't really have a chance. If I'd come in there as a weekend guy, I probably would have stayed around for a long time.
How long did you last there?
2 years.
Oh, you were there 2 years. I didn't realize that.
And I didn't go there for the money. I could tell you the figures, but nobody really cares. Right. I would make more if I stayed in Detroit because I was doing radio, and RIF, and XYT, and Channel 4. But I went there because I thought it would be an opportunity. And it turned into a disaster because right after I got there, the Writers Guild went on strike.
Oh.
So I was in New York, the number one market, a brand new guy, and it was like worse than Saginaw, worse than Cadillac.
Right.
They got me a guy from accounting. An Asian guy from accounting who didn't know anything about sports was my producer because they couldn't bring in a strike breaker. So it was miserable, not to mention it was an awful building. And by the way, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this.
No, you won't.
But when Bernie replaced me, because I left when they brought Bernie.
Bernie Smilovitz, for those who don't know who that is.
Bernie, who eventually really caught on, and I give him credit. He's been there ever since.
Okay, I'm an expert on that because we worked opposite each other in New York for 5 years. Bernie barely made it in New York. He hung on that long. He was not well thought of. He was routinely ripped in the papers because his cutesy highlights, which have made him a lot of money in Detroit, he's a talented, creative guy, did not play in the New York market.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I going to say there? So when I first got to New York, Bernie was bombing because it was the leftover of me. Yeah. It took him a while to get used to him. It was a new style. And the guy that you replaced is going to – I did have a good following here. It's very difficult. They wanted to hire me back, and I couldn't come back. And then to Bernie's credit, he hung on, and he became a star.
Did New York offer you a continuing relationship, or they just said that was it?
They fired me, and here's another part of the story. So I got fired, and I had a year and a half left on my contract.
Oh.
So my decision is, do I sit it out and collect the money, or if I take a job in Detroit, then I only get paid the difference. Yeah. So if I was making $5 in New York, they owed me, and I got paid $2 to be here, they would only have to make up the other $3. Right. Of course, there was bigger numbers than two, three, but that's what it was. So I decided to take the job at Channel 2 because it was available. The next year, in April, I came back in March 88. In April 89, Don Shane came back to replace Steve Garagiola. I could have had that job if I'd waited for Channel 7, but I wanted to get back to work, and I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, let me just add this. I'm not blowing smoke up your butt, Eli, because I don't have to.
Well, go ahead.
You're as talented a broadcaster as I've ever been around in this industry, as smart a guy and one of the great broadcast writers I ever saw. Your problem was they brought you in here to New York, paying you a lot of money, and everybody sat back like some guy from Detroit, and ironically, you're not from Detroit, you're from here. But some guy from Detroit, let's see how good you are.
Well, that,
they brought me in to put a news operation on the air at Madison Square Garden Network in 1988. They paid me one-fourth of what they paid you. Nobody knew who I was. I could make mistakes and stumble along. We were doing a five-minute show. So that people sometimes say, why did you make it in New York, Rob, and Eli didn't? Because they never gave Eli a chance, and I snuck in the back door. That's what it was about.
Yeah, it was Channel 7 was last in the ratings. And then they eventually
And you know what? In this business, everything's timing anyway.
And what they did, which is interesting, when they fired me and several others, they created what looked like the Aryan Nation. Everybody was blonde.
That's right. And
in fact, Storm Field. Remember Storm Field?
Yeah, Storm Field.
He had dark hair. They replaced him with a guy
named...
Come
on. Marv Albert and Lenny and Warner were all Jews. Come on.
I'm saying Channel 7 created... The Aryan Nation. They fired anybody who had dark hair.
They fired
Stormfield and brought in Sam Champion, who's still on the air because Sam was a blonde. Anyway, it was a bad experience. Okay, that's enough mailbag. Good stuff. Anybody got anything else?
And yeah, I got a couple more stories before we close. I want to add. Did anybody watch? And I'm a fan of the show. Anybody watch the Big Ten preview show? They call it the Tailgate Show on Saturday. It was from Ann Arbor. Before the Michigan Rutgers game.
Did you see that? Nope.
There's nothing more boredom than this pregame tailgate show.
I don't agree with you. I think it's interesting. For instance, the show opened with a young woman from the University of Michigan showing off her new sweatshirt, taking a page from Donald Trump, folks.
Of course.
Sweatshirt was maize and blue, and here's what it actually said. I quote, "Make Michigan great again. Build a wall." And under it, a picture of just the two states of Michigan and Ohio joined together as they are. I broke up laughing. Make Michigan great again. Build a wall between Michigan and Ohio.
Okay.
You mentioned Tom Allen, the Indiana coach. They had him mic'd up before the game. So Tom Allen's coming out during the warm-ups, and we see him on TV yelling, "The Hoosiers are back, baby! The Hoosiers are back!" Well, to be back, Tom, you have to have actually once been somewhere. Now, do you remember Rick Riley when he wrote that Sports Illustrated welcoming both Rutgers and Maryland to the Big Ten? He gave a rundown of every Big Ten institution and team. Rick Riley wrote this about Indiana. You'll learn that while you think the I on their helmet is an I, it is not. It is actually a one. And that represents the number of football games Indiana wins every single season.
So long, everybody.
So
thanks
long,
for
Bob. Have a great weekend.
Bob will sound better next show. Not what he says will sound any better, but his microphone will sound better. See you later, everybody.